He was glad he had finally decided to dress up a little. The jean suit, a shirt and scarf when he went downstairs. The mouse was in a creamy, high-necked blouse and a long russet skirt, laying the long wooden table at the far end of the room. There were lamps on, the first dusk outside. David saw the back of Breezley's white head on a sofa by the fireplace, and then, as he came down the room, the freak's frizzed mop leaning against his shoulder. She was slumped back, her feet on a stool, reading aloud in French from some magazine. She wore a bare-shouldered black satin dress with a flounced bottom, a Spanish line about it. The hand of the old man's encircling arm had slipped beneath the fabric and lay on the girl's left breast. He did not move it away when he saw David, merely raised his free hand and pointed down the room towards the mouse. "Have a drink, dear boy." He, too, had changed. A pale summer coat, a white shirt, a purple bow tie. The girl twisted her head and slipped David a look up. Charcoal eyes, intense red mouth, a thin grimace. Then began slowly translating what she had read into English. David smiled, hesitated an awkward moment, then went on to where the mouse moved round the table. She looked coolly up from her work. "What can I get you? Whatever you're having. Noilly Pratt? Lovely." She went to an old carved armoire beside the door through to the kitchen. Glasses, an array of bottles, a bowl of ice. "Lemon? Please." He took his glass and watched her pour a similar one for herself. Then some fizzy fruit drink and finally a whiskey. Poured with care. Dispensed. She even held the glass up and lined two fingers to check the level of the ration before topping it with an equal amount of soda. Her blouse, made of some loose woven fabric the colour of old lace that allowed minute interstices of bare flesh, was long-sleeved and tight-wristed, high-necked, Edwardian in style, rather prim and demure except, as he soon realised, that nothing was worn underneath it. He watched her face in profile as she served the drinks, its quiet composure. Her movements were deft, at home in this domestic role. David wondered why the old man had to make fun of her. Taste and intelligence seemed, after all, much more plausible than silliness. Nor did there seem anything pre-Raphaelite about her now. She was simply a rather attractive bit of 70s bird, and a good deal easier to relate to than the absurd sex doll on the sofa who was reading French again. Now and then the old man would correct her pronunciation, and she would repeat a word. The mouse took the drinks down to them, then came back to where David waited. He passed her her own glass and was aware of a very straight pair of eyes, suspiciously as if she had half read his thoughts. Then she silently raised the glass to him and sipped. One hand went to hold an elbow, and at last she smiled. "Did we behave ourselves?" "Absolutely. Very helpful. Give him time." He grinned. Definitely, he began to take to her. She had fine features, very regular and well-proportioned, a good mouth, and the very clear eyes, blue-grey eyes set more intense by her tanned complexion, had lost their afternoon abstraction. They were made up a little now, a faintly Slavonic oblongness about them accentuated, and they had a directness he liked. One of his theories began to crumble. It was hard to believe they were exploiting the old man in any mercenary way. "He showed me one of your drawings. The teasels? I was impressed." She looked down a moment at her glass, a very deliberate hesitation, then up into his eyes again. "And I liked your exhibition at the Redfern last autumn." He gave a not entirely mock start of surprise. Another smile. "I didn't realise. I even went twice." He said, "Where were you?" "Leeds, for my Dip AD, then 2 terms at the RCA. He looked duly impressed. "Well, good God, you mustn't... I'm learning more here." He looked down. It wasn't his business, but he managed to suggest that, even so, postgraduate acceptance by the fiercely selective Royal College of Art was not something one jacked in lightly. "It's all right. Henry knows he's lucky to have me." She said it with another smile, but it was meant neither ironically nor vainly, and David revised his opinion of the girl a step further. She had given herself a reference, and she gained an immediate...